Praise God, it is great to be alive.
Amen.
I'm telling you, in the presence of Jehovah, there's where it all happens.
Yes.
It is in the presence where it all... It says that troubles vanish. You know, Scripture says He is the very present help in time of trouble. It is in His presence, oh man, that the presence of His light, His love, His power, His wisdom is manifested in our lives. And to experience that and to enjoy that, He longs to do it with us day after day after day. So enjoy it. Enjoy it. Thank you again. Let's give the worship team a round of applause. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. It is that peace that we long for, and it is through Jesus, the Prince of Peace, that we obtain it. So, hallelujah. A few announcements today. Right after the service, we're having the BBS meeting. For those that wish, amen, amen. For those that are going to help or want to help, just come on over to the fellowship hall in the blue room there. We're going to have a luncheon there, so you and your families can come over. If you're helping, just bring your families over along with us. We need help, and not just during the event, but if you can help with setting up before the event, tearing down after the event, delivering flyers around so that it reaches those within the community, just to be able to share, and also during the event. If you can help in any capacity, we would greatly appreciate it. The kingdom of God would once again be first because we're doing our work for the kingdom. Then God will bless, because none of the work that we do for the Lord is in vain. He looks to reward us when we continue to work for His glory and His kingdom. So praise God. Just come next door. You want to learn about it? If you don't know about it, come over next door and learn. They'll give us plenty of information that we need to know. Also, if you haven't got your clearances yet, I encourage you. See Wendy to get your clearances. It's easy. It is simple. So just encourage you to take care of that. Also, we're going to need... We see that the supplies for the VBS school is doing well. Okay, if you have supplies, bring them in. If you want to continue to donate, continue to just bless God's people and allow His love to touch the lives of those that He wants to reveal how good and how great He is. Also, we need some supplies for the VBS family night. We need food supplies. So if you want, can you see Karen? Right, Karen? See Karen. She told you last week about a few things that she's in very need of. And so I continue to participate. Let's do what we can to help them out so that they can meet the needs for this event. Also, August 1st, we're going to be having the missions team is going to be coming up during that week, that Sunday. And we're just going to, the pastor has allowed us the time to share with you what we experienced, what God has done and is doing over there in Ethiopia. And we just want to share it with you because we know you have a heart of love and compassion for them just like we do. So we asked you to come and be a part of it and just enjoy that time of fellowship. With that, let's give the pastor a round of applause as we welcome here. Woo! He caught a baseball yesterday at the game.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you hear? Hello? Something's not right, Ishatu. That's something wrong. That baseball, yes. Had a great time. Harry threw one out, too. We won't talk about his. No, he did good. It was a great, great time, and of course it was in memory and honor of Claire Beers, Which was supposed to happen last year, but it didn't. But thank the Lord for His wonderful blessings. Is this Mission Sunday? Do we take up an offering? It should be. Okay, ushers, if you'll come. Father, we love You and we thank You. And Lord, we just pray that You'll bless this offering. Lord, we pray Your touch upon our missionaries. Lord, that You would minister to them and help them. And Lord, we give You the praise and give You the glory for it. In Thy name, amen. We do welcome you today. And we also welcome our phone church and our live stream. Hallelujah. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And He's just the same. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles chapter 7, starting with verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burning offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good. For His mercy endureth forever." Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the opportunity we have to be in this place. We thank You, Lord, for what You're doing. We praise You and thank You for what You're going to do. Lord, we just give You all the praise and all the glory. We thank You, Lord God, that Your mercies are new every morning. And Father, we thank You and praise You. We ask, Heavenly Father, for Your touch. We pray, God, for Your help in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. I want us to look today at what happens when God surrounds His people. What happens? At the dedication of the temple, Solomon prayed until he had finished praying. He neither prayed too briefly or too long. He prayed until God released him. That's what happened. It used to be called, some of you probably know this here term, it used to be called praying through. Praying through. It's praying until we know we have laid hold of God and that God has come through. This type of praying produces some marvelous results. As 2 Chronicles 7 and verses 1 to 3 had a spectacular response from heaven among God's people back then, so it will be for you and I today. I believe if we would endure, if we would withstand, if we would just hang tough and persevere in prayer until we see a reaction from heaven, it would revolutionize our lives and it would revolutionize our world. Spiritual vitality is the very life and it's the very power of Almighty God that is poured into believers. Hallelujah. For what reason? Well, I believe the reason is this. To bring about the will and character of God in that person. I believe that. The principles of spiritual life are very simple. Very simple. But they are absolutely contrary to the sinful makeup of the unbeliever. Paul warned the church at Galatia that their flesh would always be fundamentally at enmity with the Spirit of God. And that's found in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. You see, it is only as we continue to walk in the Spirit that we will succeed in overcoming the desires of the flesh. That's how it's going to be. And we must walk in the Spirit. Because spiritual life, I believe, is rekindled only as we lay down our pride in past achievements. Only if we set aside our confidence in personal or even in corporate ability. And then turn again to God who waits to pour out His Spirit on those who earnestly seek His face. If we want to see, and I believe we have to, it is a must. If we want to see what happens when God surrounds His people, we must have to continually emphasize some things. Number one is this. Humility. Humility. Being humble. In Proverbs 16:19, it says this. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. In Proverbs 22:4, it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honors and life. In Proverbs 29 and verse 23, a man's pride shall uphold the humble in spirit. We must also emphasize, number two, we must emphasize confession. In Ezra chapter 10 and verse 11, now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do His pleasure, and separate yourself from the people of the land. That's a key point right there, church. Separate yourself from the people of the land and from the, according to the strange wives that he was even talking about there. In Proverbs 28:13, it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Wow. We must also emphasize number three, repentance. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 31, it says, cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Wow. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 2, it says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the sacrifices of our lips. Wow. When you think about the story of repentance, the repentance of some people is like sailors who throw their goods overboard in the storm and wish for them again in the calm. That's what some. I believe that we must emphasize change. change. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, it says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We must change. We have to change. The great change, when you look back into Psalms chapter 51, it was the confession and the repentance of David after his fling with Bathsheba. Back then, the great change of Psalm 51 was confession. Confession. In verse 3, it says, "I acknowledge my transgressions." That's what David did. In verse 4, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned." David is cautious that his secret sin was an open insult against Almighty God. Verse 6, "Thou desirest truth in the inward parts." He now knows that God looketh on the heart. He realized that in Psalm 51, David did. If you look at David's desire for change, in verse 2, it says this, "Wash me thoroughly and cleanse me from my sin." Wow. Where sin abounds, the scripture tells us, grace did much more abound. Verse 10, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Create in me a clean heart. That's what he wanted. The clean heart is a new creation. The clean heart is changed. And then it says, "Renew a right spirit within me." The absence of the right spirit is the evidence of indwelling sin. Let me say that again. The absence of the right spirit is the evidence of indwelling sin. Wow. In verse 12 it says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." When there is change, church, there is results. A desire to win souls. It happened to David. He said there in verse 13, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted," or they should be turned unto thee, unto God. There is a desire to praise God. You know, whenever that takes place, when there is repentance, when there is change, the scripture tells us there is a desire to win souls and there is a desire to praise God. Hallelujah. "Oh God," he said in verse 15, "of my salvation, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. And again, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." So, what happens when God surrounds his people? What happens? What happens when God is among his people? Solomon found out what happens when God is among his people and when God surrounds his people. There are three things that happened to Solomon here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. Number one is this. God gave proof that he was there. Wow. God gave proof that God was right there in the midst of his people. God gave proof. He's in this place right now. There was evidence of God hearing Solomon. And God gives confirmation to Solomon's prayer. In verse 1, look what happened. Fire came down from heaven. Wow. Wouldn't you like to see that? Could happen today. It would be great if it did. Might scare us a few, right? Fire came down from heaven. An immediate divine response happened there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1. God's presence was a source of blessing. He was a source of refreshment to Solomon. Wow, he always is. He is that for you and I. Even in the darkest days, Solomon would know that all is well. Wow. Have you ever been to those times in your life that you seemed like God wasn't around, but you knew down in your spirit that all is well? Because His Word was among them. God was giving His divine approval of the new temple. If you look at verse 40, and look in chapter 6, the 2 Chronicles chapter 6, look at verse 40, it says this, "Now, my God, let I beseech you, your eyes be open, and let your ears be attent to the prayer that is made in this place." Wow. Wow. Solomon, at this time, Solomon prayed, "Let your eyes be open. Let your ears be attentive, be alert, be aware." And then in verse 41, "Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Let your saints rejoice in goodness." Then all of a sudden, jump down to verse 42. It says, "O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed." What does that mean? Well, it's a good question. I believe it says, is meaning this: do not reject your anointed one. Do not reject your appointed one. And Solomon was appointed, but he was also anointed. Now, we already read verse 1 of chapter 7. But look what happened there in that verse. "Fire came down from heaven and consumed the offering and sacrifices." That's what happened. And God responded at that very moment. He responded to Solomon's prayer. And this was God's approval. And I believe that he was saying this: "My eyes are open, my ears are aware, I am not going to turn my face, I will remember." Wow. And I say to that, Lord, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers, our cries. Let us see your fire again. Just like back there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Lord, let us see your fire again. I hope that's your desire. A second thing that happened to Solomon is this: the glory of the Lord filled the house. The glory of the Lord filled the house. I believe that refers to a visible manifestation of God's presence and His splendor. This was the symbol. The Lord filled the house. This was the symbol of God's presence and His majesty. We serve an awesome God. We have an awesome God. This was a sign of His presence. His presence was there. I'm sure some of you know this. Remember the days whenever the presence of the Lord came and filled the temple, filled the place. And people could not, they would do things that were abnormal. Now at that time they would thought we were crazy. But it's all right to be crazy for God, right? This was a sign of His presence. It was a sign of His nearness. He was near to His people. It was a sign of His closeness. It was a sign of His nobility and His splendor. The glory was in the form the scripture tells us, of a thick cloud. It filled the temple with darkness. So the priests could no longer minister because of their awe and their respect and their astonishment. Wow. They could no longer minister because of their reverence before the glory of the Lord. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. I want us to look at verses 13 and 14. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister. Other notice, they could not perform their service by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Oh God, do it again. Fill your sanctuary with your presence. Too many times, ministers want to do it themselves. I believe it's time to stand aside and let the Holy Spirit do the work. While their praise was ascending, the glory of the Lord descended and filled the house. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Look at verse 11. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as the head above all." Wow. Wow. Solomon's third thing is found in verse 3 of chapter 7. They bowed with their faces towards the ground, the scripture tells us. The people, I believe, saw in God's glory. I believe they saw his acceptance of the king and also of the temple. Two central elements in his covenant promise to David. In 1 Chronicles 17, 11 and 7, a son will be raised up. Two things happen. A son is going to be raised up. And number two, he will build the temple. The son will build the temple. Thanks be to the Lord Jesus. This was a manner church that expressed reverence and humility. You see, the courts of the temple were densely crowded on this very occasion. The enormous multitude at this time threw themselves on the ground. And even when the fire of the Lord came down, they praised him. When the fire of the Lord came down, they praised him. When the fire of the Lord came down, they praised him. "He is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Wow. This is a song, I believe, "For his mercy endureth forever." That is a song that never goes out. It's always in season. In closing, you will find in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you will find a very famous verse. It's called verse 14. "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and cry out and call upon, God will do amazing things." It follows immediately the dedication of the temple. And one of the most spectacular spiritual events in human history is found there. And when Solomon finished praying at the dedication of the temple, fire fell from heaven, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, and people bowed with their faces to the ground to worship and to praise God. I wonder what would take place today. What would happen? These people were in tune with God that much that that's what happened. Why then the warning? Why? Because pride and desertion can closely follow spiritual victory. When you have spiritual victory, when you got victory in your life, you can just best believe Satan's going to be there to try to steal it. That's what's going to happen. That's what will take place. But as we've always sung for how many years, we're taking it back. We're taking it back, what the devil sold from us, right? We're going to take it back. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. We're going to take it back. If we have any hope of spiritual success, we must take 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. We must take it seriously. And we must make it an ongoing pattern for our lives. Go to Habakkuk chapter 3, little book of Habakkuk. Look at that verse, Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2. It tells us this, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. Whew. Habakkuk there knew God's people had sinned. He knew that. And he knew they would experience God's judgment. So he prayed for God to come among his people with a fresh manifestation of his power. And I pray the same. He prayed that God would remember his people in times of distress, in times of trouble, and to be merciful. Habakkuk knew that God's people would not survive if the Lord did not intervene with an outpouring of his grace and spirit. And we must also do. We will not survive without his presence, without his grace, without his mercy. And without his spirit, we will not survive. You will read in verses chapter 3, verses 3 to 16 of 2 Chronicles. You will read in those verses, God came. God came. God showed up. And you know what, church? That's exactly what we're praying for at this very moment, that God shows up in our midst. Church, we need God among us. We need him in our midst. We need him to surround us. We need him. We need him to come into our life, into our lives, for him to be the center of all. Why? Why ask God to do that? Why cry out to God to surround us, to enclose us, to encircle us? Why? Why do we want God to invest his very being His life, His Son, His Holy Spirit in us, in our church. Why? Why do we call upon Him and ask Him to let His glory, His Shekinah glory, fill this place? Why? I believe it is this. Because we live in a day where the church has become pretty much irreverent. We have to admit it. We've come to the point in the day and age that some, not all, I don't mean every church, but unfit, useless. They want to play games. Let me tell you something, church. God's not playing games. The church has emerged itself. The church has embraced the ways of the world instead of changing people. Go back to the Word. Look what Jesus did when He came. He did so to bring the kingdom back into creation. And Jesus established His body in the world, which is the church, in order to change the world one person at a time. And people who are right with God are separated from the world. You hear me? People who are right with God are separated from the world. We're in the world, church, but we're not of it. Jesus prayed that all His followers would be separated from the world. Go to John. Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, starting with verse 15, look what it says. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil, other known as protect them. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify, make holy them through your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify, I set apart myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Wow. 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 Father, I thank You. And Lord, I praise You. And I ask, Heavenly Father, that You would move by Thy Spirit in this place. We need a fresh outpouring. We want the church to be the church, not a social club. Lord, I pray that You'll help us. I pray that You will help Pinchot Park Assembly of God. I pray, Lord God, that You would so move in our midst. Lord, we're having VBS coming very shortly. Lord, touch the children that come. On Friday night, the parents, Lord God, touch them, we pray. Father, we pray that You'll pour out Your Spirit. And Lord God, I thank You and I praise You for that. Come, Holy Spirit, I need Thee. Come in Thy own special way. And Father, we will give You the glory and we will give You the praise in Jesus' holy and matchless name. Amen and amen. Don't forget our meeting with the over in the blue room. If you can help, we surely would do need it. And we thank You ahead of time. God bless you.